Donald Trump's tariffs on Chinese products have led China's leadership to seek stronger trade ties with the country's neighbor. Chinese President Xi Jinping will visit Malaysia and Cambodia later this week. And today he arrived in the capital of Vietnam for 2 days of talks. For more on this, let's go live to Hong Kong and journalist Patrick Falk. And Patrick, tell us why the Chinese president is in Vietnam.
Yeah, look, it's an incredibly important trip for the Chinese leader, coming at an incredibly sensitive and important time. You know, these countries in Southeast Asia, Vietnam and Cambodia in particular, they are really stuck between a rock and a hard place. They face the prospect of either having to cut some trade with their biggest trading partner, China, or face crippling tariffs from the US. As we know, Washington's biggest gripe with them is that they are being used for the transshipment of Chinese goods, either fraudulently in some cases with false labeling and things like that, to evade duties on Chinese exports. That's something that the Trump administration has made very clear they want to put an end to. So, you know, now Vietnam is in a position where it has to decide what's in its best interest. So President Xi is there to try and compel Vietnam and other countries to stand unified. He talked in Vietnam about the importance of upholding multilateralism and standing against bullying as well. And he talked about the importance of cooperation. Now, he is able to dangle some sweeteners. They signed a series of deals on things like technology, 5G, interconnectivity, and rail links in particular, which are going to bring the two countries closer together. But it's difficult to see to what extent Vietnam is going to heed to calls to resist making concessions to the US and hanging tough there. It will be keen to avoid angering Washington any further and reluctant perhaps to align itself with the main target of Trump's tariffs.
Well, the world is so interesting. Really, to watch what's happening in this world is fascinating. Here we are, Vietnam, where we were for so many decades fighting a war. And we were fighting that because the Chinese had invaded and were trying to take them over. And they managed actually to peel off the North and North Vietnam. In fact, the United Vietnam is now a communist country. So here, Xi Jinping is in Vietnam trying to persuade them not to deal with the U.S. It's just very interesting to me. And of course, we have China, this war about the Panama Canal, which is our main trade route in this hemisphere. And is, of course, the canal that we built years ago at great cost in terms of lives and money. And so we're trying to take it back because Jimmy Carter gave it away and the Chinese have come in to dominate. There are so many moving pieces to this that I thought it was time to talk to my good friend Gordon Chang again. Of course, Gordon is a national treasure, really, on this. He's all over the television. I'm sure you've seen him on CNN and Fox and Fox Business and CNBC and PBS. I mean, he really is one of the nation's leading experts on China. And so he will join us in a second to kind of figure out, help us, bring us his insights. And he has great insight. I think we really need to understand because we have all of these naysayers. We have Wall Street, the Wall Street Journal, apoplectic about, you know, any kind of a problem with trade with China. And so we'll talk about that today. Well, this is the Holy Week. This is Holy Week. I always look forward to this. And in many ways, I wish my church and other churches would observe the week more. We don't need just a couple of nights of remembrance or Sunday morning. We need a whole week. And I know that the liturgical churches do, but I think the Protestant churches don't. And I miss it. I miss the music of Good Friday, the music of Easter Sunday morning, too. It's just minimal. Nevertheless, it's Easter week, and it doesn't matter how we celebrate it. It doesn't take away from its majesty or the profundity of what Jesus did during this week and what God did for the world. It's just a wonderful story. So as we celebrate this holy season, let's take a moment to reflect on God's creation. You are God's creation. You know, Psalms tells us that we are knit together in our mother's womb. His eyes saw your unformed body. He saw who you were created before you became you. Well, Preborn Ministries wants to remind you that each one of you was made in the image of God. and life is sacred. Life is eternal. You may have come to earth as an unplanned pregnancy. Whether planned or unplanned, your life has value, and every day of your life is ordained by God. Please take a moment today to thank God for life. And we invite you to remember babies in their mother's wombs. Their lives count too. Well, last year alone, Preborn's network of clinics rescued over 67,000 babies from abortion. And you were a huge part of that. I tell you that, but it's true. Let it soak in. Those of you who bother to take out your credit card or however it is that you're giving, and take a moment to just give to Preborn. You are responsible for that. And so with this Easter season, I think when, you know, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, his life given for us, and that he promises that we will all live with him eternally. Those of us that know him, acknowledge him, believe in God, and acknowledge the lordship of Christ will also live again. We will never die. Eternal life. It's not a myth. It's a wonderful promise. And so if you share that promise, and even if you don't, I hope that by listening to the show that will change in time. But Preborn is the place that you can go and give to save these children. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's Preborn.com/Sandy. Well, we're going to be talking about a lot of complicated things today, but it's understandable. And it's about how the lies about the election not being stolen are being unraveled. It's pretty amazing. And it's exciting. And if you have a comment about it, you can call 662-821-2040. 662-821-2040. And you can write me at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. You can go to the website, sandyrios.com, and listen to the podcast. But, of course, it's on all the social media outlets. It's also on all the podcast outlets. So Spotify or Amazon or Apple, whatever it is that you like to do. And also, most importantly, it is on our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net, AFR.net. You can find it there. So I hope that you'll share it with your friends. And that we can, you know, grow our audience and just have more impact for the kingdom and for the truth. Well, I think the main nut of what we're going to talk about with Gordon today is, can China survive the tariffs that the Trump administration is putting on them? What's the risk that they have? Are they too big to fail? And what is our risk? Can we really endure? Is Wall Street right? Is the stock market right? Is this too much of a chance to take? Well, we'll talk about all of that with Gordon Chang. So stay tuned for this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
History will record that the actions President Trump has taken in recent days were the beginning of saving the West from complete economic domination by another power.
All right, that's a familiar voice of Stephen Miller, who's been an advisor to President Trump for a long time. Stephen is one of the speechwriters. He's actually with Jeff Sessions a number of years ago. I've known him for years. He's a powerhouse, but he makes this statement that's pretty powerful. Will these tariffs and this whole shaking up the world's trade system make Trump that famous person that Stephen talked about, or will it be a disaster? And of course, our main concern, I think most people's main concern, is really our greatest enemy, and that's China, because we're so entrenched with trade. And there are moving parts constantly, as you heard at the top of the show. Xi was just in Vietnam. What were they talking about? What's that all about? Well, to discuss China, their response to the tariffs, the visit to Vietnam, the Panama Canal, and all the other things that are happening is my good friend Gordon Chang. And of course, Gordon is the author of The Great U.S.-China Tech War and Losing South Korea. Those are booklets, and also The Coming Collapse of China, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. There are so many more books that Gordon has written, and he is part Chinese, lived in Hong Kong. His wife Lydia is from Hong Kong, so he knows what he's talking about. He knows the world well, and he joins us this morning. Gordon, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much, Sandy.
Let's just start with the latest news story, and that is Xi going to Vietnam. I realize that's a micro point, and we'll go back and get the broader picture in a minute. But what was Xi in Vietnam? What was that visit all about, and what do you think Xi's goal was?
Yeah, that's part of a visit to two other Southeast Asian nations, Cambodia and Malaysia. Xi Jinping would very much like to keep those markets open to Chinese goods. He's being shut out of the U.S. market. He needs to divert production to other places. And also, he would just generally want countries to side with him in what we call the trade war, but which, as Stephen Miller said, it's a war for the West. But even more important than that, it's a war for the world.
So this is what goes through my mind on Vietnam and Cambodia. Malaysia, I don't know that much. I really am not an expert on Vietnam and Cambodia, but I've been both places. Vietnam is still a communist country. Cambodia is free. The Vietnamese communist connection with the Chinese communists, because the Chinese communists went into Vietnam, as you and I both know, what is the relationship like? I would think there would be a really strong tie and there wouldn't be any issue that Vietnam would pull away from China's will on this business of the tariffs and cooperate with the United States. So can you explain that?
Well, Vietnam depends on exports to the United States, and it's been experiencing extraordinary prosperity because factories have been migrating out of China to Vietnam. And so Vietnam has a strong interest in maintaining ties with us. Also, throughout history, the Vietnamese and the Chinese have been at each other's throats, sometimes literally. In fact, China's last war was against Vietnam in 1979. There was a lot of fighting. The Vietnamese won, by the way. Vietnam's third-string army kicked the you-know-what out of the Chinese first string. There have been a lot of skirmishing in the South China Sea between Vietnam and China, where China's gotten the better of it. But nonetheless, the Vietnamese don't put up with anything when it comes to the Chinese.
That's really interesting. I was thinking, you know, there are so many Vietnamese here in this country now who've settled and have become American citizens and love this country. I know many of them. And so there's strong ties because of familial things, too, I would think, with Vietnam. So that's actually good news for all of us. Is it true that Cambodia and perhaps Malaysia and Vietnam have been sort of fronting for China? Like, in other words, selling goods, I don't know even the word for it, but selling goods that are really from China so that there will be less tariffs if it looks like it's from Vietnam and Cambodia. Are they doing that?
Yes. And matter of fact, Commerce Secretary Lutnick actually warned the three capitals about this. There are two things that are going on. One of them is that China is actually establishing factories in these countries, especially Vietnam, and that is perfectly legal. But what also is happening is false bills of lading and minimal production in those countries, which don't meet local content requirements, and that is not permissible. And that's what Lutnick was referring to. So there's a lot of trade tension, but, you know, especially Malaysia and Vietnam have a really strong interest in maintaining the U.S. market.
So what's in it for us? I mean, like, what do we hope? So do Vietnam and Cambodia, no, I guess it's South Korea and other countries like that who have ability to make these chips. So Taiwan. So what do Vietnam and Cambodia and Malaysia offer us? Do they make goods, you know, the cheaper goods just like China? Can they duplicate in some way or fashion what China is providing to the U.S. right now?
Well, Malaysia and Vietnam offer a market for American goods, and those capitals, need to have good trade and access to the U.S., so they need to lower their tariff and non-tariff barriers to our products. And that's important not only for them, but for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, so as it stands right now, as I understand it, there's a kind of a baseline 20% tariff on everything, but isn't it 125 to 150% on China right now?
Because China would not. 145% on China, except for electronics and chips, which are 20%. And that's the baseline tariff, which applies to everybody right now.
Okay, so where, besides Taiwan, and Taiwan, of course, is still very much our friend, is there any other place where we can get chips? I mean, if we really get into a trade war with China, is that one of our most vulnerable places right there, the chips and electronics?
Well, electronics, less so, but sophisticated computer chips, there are two countries that supply them. There is Taiwan, and there's one company on Taiwan that supplies 92% of the world's most sophisticated semiconductors. That's Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, also referred to as TSMC. The other 8% comes from South Korea. That's primarily Samsung. And this is important because South Korea on June 3 has a snap presidential election where essentially a communist could get elected, and South Korea could turn red. So that means we'd be even more dependent on Taiwan.
What about that semiconductor or chip facility that the Taiwanese businessman says he's going to move to Arizona? Is that legitimate? And will that cover some of this? Would eventually?
TSMC has announced two tranches of investments into U.S. semiconductor manufacturing. One was an initial $65 billion, which has built a facility in North Phoenix, which is now up and running and looks to be will be successful.
Wow.
About 2-3 weeks ago, TSMC announced an additional $65 billion for five new fabs, also probably going to be in the Phoenix area. And that will help lessen our dependence on Taiwan. But nonetheless, those facilities in the U.S., those six fabs, are not going to be making the most sophisticated chips. So we still will need Taiwan. And, of course, we need Taiwan for a lot of other reasons which are more important than semiconductors. But with regard to semiconductors, that's the general outline.
All right, so there's the problem also with minerals that China has been buying up around the world and, you know, expanding through the Belt and Road Initiative, these countries that have these, like Africa and I guess South America. And so China has kind of got the monopoly on these minerals that are needed to make, I'm not sure, I don't know if it's the chips or what. So where are we with that, Gordon? Where are we with those rare minerals?
Yeah, you're referring to what are called the rare earths. Also, there are associated minerals like lithium, and these are needed for all sorts of computer chips and other high-tech products. China has actually announced an export embargo on rare earth minerals to the U.S. It seems a lot more scary than it actually is because China needs to sell these as well as we need to buy them. And China tried this export embargo on rare earths in 2010 against Japan. The effort collapsed within a couple months. So this is a very difficult thing for China to do. And this export ban hurts China as much or maybe even more than it hurts us. But nonetheless, it's grabbed our attention. China has very few things it can actually do in terms of objective matters. The other thing they can do, which they just announced a couple hours ago, is to not accept delivery of Boeing aircraft. And that actually is something that hurts us a little bit more than it hurts China. But the point here is that China's really out of ammunition. It is the smaller economy. Its economy is less than two-thirds the size of ours. And it is the trade surplus country. Last year, China's merchandise trade surplus against us was $295.4 billion. Trade surplus countries have everything to lose in trade wars. So President Trump basically holds almost all the high cards.
On the Boeing deal that might hurt us, is the French, I think, make those planes or something similar also, but So my question is, are the European countries inclined to help us sort of sort China out and reduce their power, their stealing of information, their warmongering? Are there any Europeans or any of our traditional allies who are questionably not our allies now, are they inclined to help with this, or would they, with the French or whoever, sell them planes instead? Some Western country, would they do that, you think?
Well, the Airbus consortium, which is includes many countries in Western Europe, will sell planes to China to take advantage of the situation. In the broader question of whether Europe will help, Europe has been helping. NATO has been sending ships to Asian waters, and working in conjunction with our fleet. So in security matters, yes, they are very good partners. But when it comes to trade, Europeans are pretty tough. As President Trump said, they're just as bad as the Chinese, which isn't exactly true, but it gets across the notion that Europe is not—they're not fair traders. So we do have our issues with the European Union, which is the 27-member state, the 27-member organization, which is essentially the world's biggest trade bloc.
Yeah, I don't think they're our friends either. I think that horse left the barn a long time ago, and it's just now being acknowledged. But I was just curious, because China's kind of a mutual threat, I would think, and that they might be somewhat sympathetic and try to catch this moment, but it doesn't sound like that. So,
well, one other thing I should mention, and that is Europe has its own trade problems with China. And right now the European Union is talking to both the White House and talking to China about trade deals. I think that the EU is going to have much more success with us. And certainly, I don't think that the EU is going to come to any enduring arrangement with China for a lot of reasons. I mean, the predatory and criminal trade practices that China visits upon us, they also visit upon the Europeans. And so they're pretty pissed in Brussels about the Chinese.
Okay. Oh, this stuff is interesting. You have already touched on this. But I want to ask you again, how vulnerable really is China in this trade war? I think of, you've mentioned before how Xi is so unpopular at home, at least my little, my Chinese connection here, which I'm not going to mention who she is, but she has a mother who's a communist back in China, and I talk to her often, and she tells me how unpopular he is because of the COVID lockdowns. So how vulnerable is Xi in all of this?
I actually think he's quite vulnerable, more than we think. First of all, his economy isn't growing at the 5.0% pace that they reported for last year. It's probably contracting, as we can see from price data for March. Both the consumer price index and the producer price index are negative. But whatever it is right now, China will be contracting soon, if it isn't already. The other problem for China is that it's now starting to have its 2008 downturn. In 2008, the Chinese didn't want a recession, so they overstimulated their economy by taking on enormous amounts of debt. And now that debt is coming due, and they've got to figure out how to resolve it. And they have not been able to do that. So we've been seeing continuing defaults by major Chinese businesses, especially in the property sector, because property, which represents 70% of the wealth of the Chinese people, the market is collapsing. So these are all hitting at the same time that President Trump is imposing tariffs on China at elevated rates. So that means Xi Jinping really is in a, I think, pretty desperate situation. We know that people in the military are not saluting when he comes around. They are... from what we can tell, Xi Jinping's adversaries in the military are sacking and detaining Xi Jinping's loyalists in the military, which means he doesn't completely control the People's Liberation Army. And also, we can guess that some senior civilian leaders are not terribly happy with Xi Jinping either. So the situation is a mess. We don't quite know exactly what's happening because the system is so opaque, and more so under Xi Jinping, but we can see signs of instability, and that means Xi Jinping must be in trouble.
Doesn't this sound like, Gordon, when President Reagan led the charge to sort of destroy or bring down the USSR economically, not through an an atom bomb or through any kind of war, but to break them down, and the Star Wars program, I guess, did that with them trying to keep up with us. This seems similar to me. I mean, can China, it seems like they have their tentacles everywhere. They own American property. There are Chinese who've invaded our soil. They have our intellectual property. Their ships are everywhere. They're in countries across the world with their Belt and Road Initiative. They have become a tremendous danger to us on purpose because they want to be. But what about the whole notion of bringing them down economically in this way and causing that none of that to happen?
Yeah, that could very well be the result of President Trump's tariffs. Reagan and Trump are different. Reagan intended to bring down the Soviet Union. Trump does not. But what Trump is doing could very well bring down the Chinese regime. So Trump very well may be remembered as the Reagan of our century. But their goals are different.
Okay, so I understand that. I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. Trump is more inclined, I believe, to make the countries all thrive. I don't think he really wants to destroy countries, but I do think he wants to destroy China's grip on us. Would you agree with that?
Well, yes, because he believes, and he's right, that China has taken advantage. He's ripped us off, is the phrase he's used. He's fleeced us, another phrase that he's used. And he's absolutely right about that. And his predecessors talked about this, but really didn't do very much. So, for instance, you have particularly Obama, when he was running for president the first time, talked about helping American workers, but did very little in that regard with regard to China. And Biden was the same way. So Trump is the first person to actually, or first president to actually do what he said he'd do. And he talked about tariffs during the campaign. He was very clear what he was going to do, and now he's done it. So Trump is, like him or not, Trump is like the first president in our lifetimes who's actually doing what he's saying he wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And then some. The question, and you've answered this too, but I'd like to just explore it a little bit. How vulnerable are we? I say, you know, Wall Street is having a conniption fit. And I don't think that anyone who, there's a vast universe of people out there who hate Trump and hate what he's doing. And I don't think they care if it helps the country. So the headwinds here are so strong. So that's one danger to me here at home. But how vulnerable are we as we try to negotiate this stuff with China?
That question boils down to what Trump will do. Trump knows he holds the high cards. The only way Xi Jinping wins this trade war is if he's able to convince Wall Street, Main Street, farmers, C-suites to talk to Trump and pressure him and get Trump to back down. So this is really a question of how tough President Trump really is. And we will know. This will define his presidency because this will define the United States. So Trump can hold the line. And it's within his power. But the question is, as we know, there are a lot of elements in the United States that are putting pressure on him.
Do you think that, do you sense that this decision to take some of these, the chips, the phones, some electronics and other things, I think they're talking about medical supplies too in a different format, to take them out of the 145% tariff bracket, and he says it's another category. So do you think that's a sign of him relenting a little bit? What do you think?
It certainly is. And what's more important is the Chinese see it as a sign of weakness, and they've been talking a lot about this since it was announced. So I'm not saying the Chinese are right, but what I'm saying is that they take this as a sign that they're going to win the trade war. And they're becoming more belligerent about it. Now, President Trump should have given that exemption when he first announced the 145% tariff so that it didn't look like a climb down. But it does look like a climb down. Now, I believe that the United States, that Trump will impose a new tariff regime on electronics, on pharmaceuticals, that will give incentives for companies to onshore production. And that will be really terrific thing. But there's two things here, Sandy. One of them is he doing the right thing? Yes. Is he doing it in the right way? Probably not. Because one thing we know, whether he's doing the right thing or not, he certainly has given the Chinese a lot of confidence in the last couple of days.
Oh, how interesting. And how would we know that except you telling us? I think
we can see it from the Chinese propaganda. You don't need me. But we can see what the Chinese are saying, and it isn't pretty. What President Trump is doing on tariffs is absolutely essential. He deserves great credit for taking this on, and we have to win this because this is the future of our country in our era. So let's all get behind President Trump because we've got a common enemy. It's China. Afterwards, we can argue among ourselves, but right now, we have got to win the tariff war.
That's, I feel the exact same way, Gordon. I don't understand. You know, Wall Street is having a breakdown, and the Wall Street Journal is too, but they're the ones that brought us this fiction of free trade and that a rising tide lifts all boats. I remember all of that. It was like the holy grail to businessmen that I knew in Chicago when this first came to be. And it has devastated this country, gutted our industry. We all know this. President Trump says it all the time. I saw it myself. It's not the first time I've heard this. I've seen that. So the guys that caused that and told us, sold us this bill of goods about free trade are now trying to stop President Trump in the approach that he's taking to trying to fix all this. And I think we have to let him loose, let him do this. And I would rather let him do this and take a chance than go back to the Wall Street Journal types or the Wall Street traders, because they have selfish interests and they have not proven to be successful. I have a couple of quick questions for you on Greenland. Greenland is about, I don't think people fully understand, it's the Chinese ability to have their ships in the Russian near Greenland because they're breaking through the ice. So say a word about why President Trump has talked about taking the control of Greenland.
Well, China and Russia are intending to take over the Arctic. Greenland is an Arctic area, and it is vital to the security of the United States. It always has been, and it always will.
Yeah, so that's the reason. And I thought there was some, they have rare minerals. I think I heard that at one point. So the other question that I have for you is Panama Canal, because we know that the Chinese have been pushed back somewhat, that the president, I think Molina, I think that's his name, is a friend to the U.S. and has at great risk, kind of dismantled the Belt and Road Initiative or changed their agreement. But now we've got BlackRock buying those two ports, I think, at either end of the canal. BlackRock has not been our friend. Has been one of the largest trade and financial centers entities in this country. Everybody is invested in BlackRock, whether they know it or not. But there's some concern about that, at least. And I'd love your comments on that.
Well, BlackRock has struck a deal with C.K. Hutchison to buy 199 berths in 23 countries at 43 ports. And two of those ports are at each end of the Panama Canal. Now, Beijing has stopped Hutchison from actually signing an agreement with BlackRock. BlackRock is not happy, and there's been basically a change of attitude. Remember, BlackRock is extremely powerful. It's the world's largest asset manager with something like $11.6 trillion under management. Wow. So Xi Jinping irritating Larry Fink of BlackRock ain't good for China.
So you're putting your vote for Larry Fink and the success of BlackRock. And, I did see a statement that Larry Fink made that made me think that he's having a change of heart. I don't know exactly what change, but something, whatever the statement was, that he's didn't sound like the Larry Fink that we have studied and realized is really, I think, maybe corrupt is the word, or power hungry, power grabbing, dangerous, I think, to our economy. So perhaps maybe Larry might be being made mad by the Chinese and might end up being the friend of America, you think?
Well, Larry Fink's in business, and business is amoral. Larry Fink is in business. But the point is, he is now upset at China, and he's even talking about the delisting of Chinese military-linked companies on U.S. exchanges. This is a real change in attitude. So this is important because it shows the attitude of the business and financial communities in the U.S. is changing, and it's changing to a more resolute posture, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. Well, Gordon, thank you. I appreciate your expertise every single moment that you give it to us. And thank you for giving us so much of your time this morning. I really appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Gordon Chang, and this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Well, as we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this week, ironically, the number of abortions continue to rise. They don't stop just because it's Easter week. And so one of the things that Preborn does is try to bring life-affirming care into the darkest places in this country. And they also try to reach girls and the fathers of the children with the gospel, the good news of the resurrection and the forgiveness that's available. They do all of that. And so there's a way to give that's bigger than just the $28 for an ultrasound, although that's always welcome. Your tax-deductible donation of $15,000 will place an entire ultrasound machine in a clinic so that women can see their babies and make a better decision. So I'm just wondering if you'd be able to do that during this Easter week. If you can, go to preborn.com/Sandy. If you can't and you can only make a smaller donation, that's, you know, God does not think of the amount we give. He really doesn't. He thinks of the proportionate sacrifice we make in giving. So whatever you can give, go to preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and I miss you in the mornings. But now I'm hosting a podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, which is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com. Well, I finally finished that book. God's Velvet Hammer chronicles God's call in my life from a small town girl to Berlin, Germany, Radio Moscow to North Korea to Washington, D.C. I talk about Sasha Girl. It was my disabled daughter. I talk about I Got the Music in Me. That's a chapter on my music life. Lost in India and Other Adventures is hilarious. You won't want to miss it. I talk about my sweetheart, The Blessing of Bruce. And then a mysterious chapter called My Green Face and the End of It All. Oh, I think you'll enjoy it. Like the Apostle Paul, these are my shipwrecks and my adventures. All for Christ and His kingdom. God's Velvet Hammer is available wherever books are sold. And remember, Sandy Rios 24/7 is available at afr.net and sandyrios.com.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at afr.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
While President Trump said in his State of the Union address, China has too much influence over the Panama Canal and America's going to take it back. And that's exactly what I was charged to do, what we're continuing to do. China's influence cannot control our own backyard, especially a critical waterway, key terrain like the Panama Canal. You mentioned 40% of ships are U.S. ships. 75% are going to or from a port. So we were able to secure two historic agreements, one with the Panama Canal Authority, that our ships, our military vessels and auxiliary vessels will travel first and free through that Panama Canal. And then we also signed a memorandum of understanding with the defense secretary over there and the president that established a robust and growing U.S. presence, right? You need to secure that key terrain. So Fort Sherman will reopen jointly with the Panamanians, a jungle school, and we're going to have a larger U.S. presence at the invitation of Panama, working with them to keep the communist Chinese out. If we can't use that waterway in a key contingency, then China has an advantage. Other presidents have allowed us, we've been sort of asleep at the wheel. President Trump has said we need to be serious about our own backyard. That includes a place like the Panama Canal. And I want to thank President Molina, a pro-Trump, pro-America president of Panama, who's sticking his neck out against communists whose influence was real there, Maria. We could see it. You could feel it. The communist Chinese want to control politicians. They're building infrastructure projects. They want to surveil. They want to take that canal. President Trump says, not on our watch, and we're fighting back.
All right. That's Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. You know, there's a noted seriousness about him now, which I love. It's like he's really come into his own. He is a former military guy, and his credentials are tremendous. And yet he could be funny and glib. He did that on Fox. So people misunderstood the toughness that he really has. That's my opinion. But I've asked Bruce to join me because he's been listening to this conversation with our friend Gordon. Gordon and Lydia have become really friends of ours as we see them here and there around the country. And it's always, it's just an honor. It's an honor. That's all I can say. All right. So, sweetheart, what did you think?
Well, I think it's if you take this situation and you take it to a playground type of analogy, China is a bully. China has a President Xi that the only way he stays in power is by exuding power, by feeding people and by keeping the military going. And President Trump recognizes that China really is our first adversary right now. It's replaced Russia. China is trying to buy up property all over the world, trying to buy minerals, trying to get a hold of the semiconductor chip production. Anything that they can use against us to cripple us.
And our farmland, buying up a farmland.
Yeah. And what we're in right now is we're in basically a bit of a showdown. I don't want to overstate it, but it's very important that President Trump be allowed to project power right now, because the entire culture of China is about how, what do you look like? What's your face? And if President Trump shows any kind of weakness, that empowers China. I think what we have to do as Americans is right now we have to suffer a bit of temporary pain. In other words, the stock market, people are screaming and yelling about, oh, we're losing our 401s, we're losing. But I'll tell you, if you look at the markets today, and today is the 15th of April when we're taping this, the markets are on their way back up. They since April 11th, when they really kind of bottomed out, they've done nothing but go up. This is as President Trump told us they would.
You know, one of the interesting things, Bruce, you mentioned face. Yeah, that is what the Chinese and also the Vietnamese, I mean, and the Japanese too, they don't want to lose face. Face is very important, and they have, for Japan, it's shame. It did make me wonder if Xi Jinping would ever come to kind of negotiate with President Trump, because that's hard, man. You're losing face, and you're losing face to your people. So it makes him harder. It makes it harder for him to negotiate.
Well, I think this process on both the part of the Chinese and our part is sort of a dance, and both countries know that we need each other for trade partners. But the issue now is, how are we going to be interlocked? Are we going to allow the Chinese to keep taking advantage of us with their tariffs and their cheap goods
and stealing our
intellectual property, stealing our factories, all this? And by stealing, I mean we're voluntarily going over there, but then once they get there, U.S. companies, often they have their companies taken from them. So this is a thing, as Gordon mentioned, China, even though they look so vast, their economy is only two-thirds of the United States. And these countries like Malaysia and Vietnam, you know, they've dealt with the Chinese. They know, I'm assuming that once people have dealt with both the United States and China, they would probably rather deal with the U.S.
I just read that because there are no rules and because China takes what's not theirs and never and companies will go over there and they're never quite sure what's going to happen, that most of them don't want to deal with China. So that's to our advantage. It's going to come back to bite the Chinese. So this is a very interesting discussion with Gordon. Do you have one last thought, Bruce?
Well, I just think we sort of have to take a wait-and-see attitude. You know, you'll see Wall Street, everything is portrayed as negative. I swear, if someone gets a blemish, it's because of Trump's tariffs. Every story I hear is, it's due to Trump's tariffs, due to Trump's tariffs. Well, if you really look at it objectively, the markets are starting to settle down. Everything is starting to return to normal. And with the things that we are going to bring back to the United States as a result of these tariffs, I think we're going to win in the long run, big time.
Yeah, but I do think that you would agree that there's going to be some pain economically for all of us on goods and services. Maybe we can't buy some things. Maybe some things are no longer available. And just prepare ourselves for that. It's time to sacrifice a little bit. I said this on a different show. Our parents sacrificed, many of your grandparents, to win the war against the Nazis. They did without here at home. The women went into the workplace and went into factories where they worked like men, dirty, dangerous work. They gave up their rights. They gave up pantyhose. They worked hard because they were all working. Their boys were overseas fighting, and they knew it was a war. So come on, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for maybe some difficulty. And when it comes, you know, just bow your neck. And let's see this thing through. And on the other side, there'll be freedom. That's all I can say. Freedom is worth this. And so I think that's everything for today, honey. Thank you for joining me.
I was glad to.
All right. I want to thank all of you for listening. And I want to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they let you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy, or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.